Let us turn our attention this morning to the scripture reading. 1 Kings chapter 2 verses 10 through 12 and chapter 3 verses 3 through 14. Then David slept with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. The time that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David. Only he sacrificed and offered incense at the high place. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the principal high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am only a child, I do not know how to go out or to come in, and your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this great people of yours?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Thank our brother in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. I invite you to be with me in an attitude of preparation and prayer. Loving God, thank you for your word. We pray that you would open us, not simply our ears to hear, but our hearts to receive. You have a blessing for us. Help us to receive it fully as we receive your grace in each and every breath that we have. It's in the name of Christ, our risen Savior, that we pray. Amen. There used to be such a thing as downtown department stores in big cities, and in small ones too. And there was kind of a magical quality about those department stores, because each floor had a certain item or items, and it was exciting to be able to go there especially during the holiday season and Christmas, and see the wonderful displays in the windows. And then after Christmas, to get the sales and to wear your elbow pads and helmets as everybody started rushing forward to get the best buys. But one of the things that amazed me the most whenever I was growing up were the doors to these department stores. Now, I'm not just talking about any doors. The doors, the circular doors, you know what I'm talking about? Because whenever I first saw those, I was amazed. I thought, how am I going to do this? You know, you have to really kind of work on it and time it and just jump in at the right time. And then you don't get too many people in one space, because then you kind of slow down if somebody's going the wrong speed. And there's been plenty of movies that have featured those circular doors and different routines. In fact, I think there's one particular scene even in Rain Man where he kind of goes out and then he comes back in again. Yeah. And you know, those doors reminded me of the particular passage of Scripture that was read at the bottom of the bulletin and then onto the top of the next page. Although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. Sometimes with us, our lives seem to be a perpetual circular door. We're not exactly sure when to jump in. We're not exactly sure when to leave. Are we just trapped there going round and round and round? And other people jump in and then other people leave and come and go. Or do we ever even take the chance to step in the first place? Faith is taking that step even when we're not sure about what lies ahead. Faith is trusting in God, not in our own wisdom or knowledge, but rather in God's providence and presence. Stepping forward into that door and trusting that God will guide us is what being in worship is indeed all about. This is not about making an appearance. This is about being trained, being equipped, being strengthened by God for the journey ahead. Because we know that when we offer our lives to God, God will then be guiding us each and every step, even into the unknown, especially through those times of challenge, those desert times, if you will, in our lives. Solomon is an interesting character, isn't he? One of the most quoted individuals in the Bible, and also someone that is intriguing because he came around at the right time. You know, the kingdom had been built and had been strengthened, and his father David had gone through some challenging times himself, obviously. And yet now the kingdom was his. And we understand that the boundaries of the kingdom grew under Solomon's reign. And Solomon is known as a builder. And there were structures that were erected. And there was great wealth that was accumulated as well. But from the very beginning, before all of that stuff started happening, Solomon had to humble himself. Had to humble himself before God to prepare himself to be the channel that God wanted him to be. Hey, it's easy to be on a winning team, isn't it? It's fun. Everybody wants to be on a winning team. Everybody wants to be on that winning side. Yeah, when things are going great, jump on that bandwagon. But to be able to go through the work, to be able to do the ministry, to be able to share the love that God is guiding us to do requires us to be humble more than anything else. There are going to be times when we don't feel like we're on the winning team. And yet, God is still going to be guiding us, preparing us for the work ahead. That's why the stories of Solomon and his wisdom and his wealth and his power certainly resonate, and we think about that. Even those with kind of a cursory knowledge of the Bible understand that. But before all of that, he simply sought to be the servant that God wanted him to be. And I think that's a powerful message for today. Simply seeking to be the servant that God wants us to be. Wisdom. Do you think the person sitting next to you is pretty wise right now? Do you think that? Do you think that you're pretty wise? I'm not saying, are they a wise guy, okay? So please, some of you were like, yes, and then I clarified that. Not a wise guy, but wise. Or have you experienced wisdom? Or have you surprised yourself and you were talking to someone and what came out of your mouth was almost unbelievable and people were blessed by it and you thought to yourself quietly, where'd that come from? How'd that happen? You didn't tell them, of course. In the words of educator Albert Hubbard, wisdom is to know when to be generous and when firm. That is wisdom. Norman Cousins, wisdom consists of the anticipation of consequences. Robert Heinlein, goodness without wisdom invariably accomplishes evil. Sam Levinson, it's so simple to be wise. Just think of something stupid to say and say the opposite. Theodore Roosevelt, 9/10 of wisdom consists in being wise in time. Interesting. An anonymous, again, this is not from me, just warning you right now. And if that's God's calling, go ahead and take it right now. That's fine. Maybe he hasn't a message for you or you have a prophetic word for the rest of us. Anonymous says, age doesn't always bring wisdom. Sometimes age comes alone. It's not me. It's not me, folks. It's on the paper. It's not me. It's anonymous. King Solomon started office. He took office in a very dramatic way. He sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings to express a devotion, thanksgiving to God. They were continuous, extravagant, spectacular. This offering that Solomon was making was close to 3 years' sacrifice for a commoner who offered a sacrifice a day, all in one concentrated effort. The flames blazed in intensity, the smoke filled the temple, and the aroma pleased the Lord. And then an amazing statement is made by God. Ask for whatever you want me to give you. Ask, and it's yours. Think about that just for a moment. If God said to you, whatever you want, it's yours, what would you ask for? All sorts of ideas come up. All sorts of thoughts, wishes. For us, to get out of our own skin, to step out of being in the world or being focused on what the world puts in front of us as important, it's important for us to do that, because God will be asking us also, what do you really seek? God does that whenever we pray. God does that whenever we humble ourselves before Him. It's not a dramatic, powerful sacrifice that needs to be made. It's the offering of our life. Now, does that mean that God answers all of our prayers in the way that we would like? No. No. But when we are in line with God and His plan, not our agenda, then, yes, there is a blessing that is to come. Maybe it's difficult to see. Maybe it's seen only in time. Was there ever anything that happened to you that whenever you reflected back on it, you realized that maybe actually it was God working? You just couldn't see it at the time? That's also wisdom. Hindsight is 20/20, that whole thing, being able to look back. For us, though, God is calling us to be in mission in the future. And God was calling Solomon also. There were other sons of David, but they were looking at that throne, and they really wanted to sit on that throne of power. They wanted to accumulate wealth. They wanted to have that prestige. And Solomon was really the only one who was seeking to please the Lord at the beginning. He eventually lost his way as well. But at the beginning, he was seeking to do what God wanted. Nothing more, nothing less. What if we did that? Simply did what God wanted. Didn't it add in our own little spice, a pinch of this, a pinch of that? Well, I think I need to do this too, but simply did what God wanted us to do and what God was calling us to do, and we're willing to follow. What a powerful outpouring of God's Holy Spirit that would be. We understand that in the New Testament, but God's Holy Spirit was also at work in this time as well, and also at work in individuals like Solomon. You see, there are people that are watching us. Solomon knew that he was being watched. Of course, he was in a position of authority and power, but we are being watched as well. Colin Powell tells this story. First of all, he shares this belief: no matter what you do, someone is always watching. Powell then recalled his early working experience. Colin Powell, who's a chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staffs, great leader, orator, speaker, author. No matter what you do, someone is always watching. I set out to be the best mop welder there ever was. Anybody have experience at using a mop, cleaning up floors, things like that? One day, someone left 50 cases of cola crashed to the concrete, and brown sticky foam cascaded across the floor. It was almost more than I could bear. But I kept mopping right to left, left to right. At summer's end, the foreman said, "You mop floors pretty good." Now, this is Colin Powell, mind you. The next summer, he had me filling bottles. Then I was a deputy foreman. And as Powell already said, someone is always, always watching. For us, we can learn from Solomon's example. Although there are temptations to grab at things, to accumulate things, to seek to build ourselves up, whenever God asks us, what do we want? We can remember Solomon's humility, his vulnerability, and his seeking to be a servant. He talks to God and says, "You're a servant in the midst of this great people. You're a servant in the midst of this great task. Lord, I want to serve you first and foremost." Solomon wasn't thinking about anything else. And he knew the people would be watching him as he stepped forward. In humility, Solomon considered himself God's servant, a vessel for God's use on earth, and he was indeed the last king in the Bible to call himself as such. Such vocabulary is missing in future orations of kings in the Old Testament, and we understand from this example that the fear of God, or the respect of God, the complete trust in God is the beginning, the true beginning of wisdom. At best, Solomon was an obedient son who walked according to the statutes of his father. That was a good start and a big step, but not an end to the decision making. It's been said that God has no grandchildren. Think about that phrase. God is our Father. God is really trying to get in touch with people today too, isn't he? God is our Father, not our grandfather. Everyone has to come to a personal faith and choose God for oneself. He has only sons and daughters, no grandchildren. One can be born into a religious family on earth, but one cannot be forced into a personal relationship with God. Faith is guided, not given. It is teachable, not transferable. That means that for us today, once again, we renew our personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. As Solomon was wise in seeking to be a servant and to serve God, so the wisest thing that we can do today as God's people who have been asked that same question by God, what can I give you? What can I offer you? We answer to God once again today, once again at this very moment, a saving relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. That is the wisest thing that we can do. Out of that decision, out of that renewal, comes so much goodness, comes so much grace, comes so much healing, comes so much spiritual power. And I invite you right now, along with me, to simply open yourselves to God in these few moments together. We're going to be hearing some music play, and that's simply in the background, but in these moments, to close your eyes, if you'd like to, again, to open your hands as a sign of openness to God, if you would like to, however you feel comfortable, or if you're even not sure what to do, or how God is moving in your life, simply say, Lord, I don't know what you want of me, but here I am. These next few moments, take them, use them to recommit to a saving relationship with God through Christ. It shows great wisdom when we do that. It shows that God is at work in us, and it shows that we are willing to be his children in the world, a world that needs it now more than ever. The world, through its wisdom, did not know him, but so God was pleased through the foolishness of the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Christ to save those who believe. Lord, we open ourselves to you now. Thank you for receiving us once again as your children. We make that decision. We seek to be wise in your knowledge. Seek to be wise in how to share love. Seek to be wise in how to be channels of grace and hope. Thank you, Lord, for this time right now of blessing. Not a blessing of accumulation, but a blessing of being filled in our hearts. It's in the name of Christ, our Savior, that we pray once again. Amen.